For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labour. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?"
Well, good morning. I say good morning. There's no guarantee that you'll be watching this in the morning, of course, but it's good to have your company again and good to have the opportunity to share from God's word with you. I know that recently you've been going through a series about confidence and having confidence in God, and I think that this will be one of the last messages. I should say, by the way, apologies if anybody was expecting Sian Rhys to speak today. I know there was some reference to that on your website. At that point, there was some confusion with the dates. And as a family, we're big friends with Sian. And I'm sure that God's timing will be perfect again in using her to bring a message to you in a few weeks' time. So as I say, I've seen from your online service that you've been looking at this series of confidence in God and looking at different elements. Confidence in God's plan for you as individuals, in his plan for you as a people, together. And in confidence in his power to transform. And confidence is a strange thing, isn't it? I was looking up some dictionary definitions and I have them here in front of me. Just listen to these three different definitions. First one, the feeling or belief that one can have faith in or rely on someone or something. The second one, the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. And finally, and this is a little different, a feeling of self-assurance arising from an appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. So all of these definitions talk about some sort of certainty or an assurance, but the difference between them is the focus of that assurance. Is that focus on something that we have or we can do or are doing ourselves? Or is it on something that someone else is doing or trust in some other person? Well, I'd like us to keep those definitions in mind as we think about coming about coming into God's presence with confidence. And today we have 3 points. First of all, there'll be the bad news. And then following that, the next 2 points are points about the good news. So the bad news is that coming into God's presence is scary and challenging. In a sense, it's not something that we should be confident about. The second point, the first point about the good news, is that Jesus has done all that is necessary for us to be able to come into God's presence with confidence. And the final point, again, good news, is that in his Spirit, he gives us the power to live with confidence in his presence with us. So we'll start with the bad news. And the reading from Exodus took us right back into the early Old Testament. And traditionally, when we look at Old Testament stories, we tend to see this picture of a God who is distant, difficult to get to. And of course, that was true. You couldn't just waltz into God's presence off the street. There were sacrifices and rituals to be performed. My own favourite amongst the traditions at the time was that when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, he had to wear special clothes. And at the bottom of these clothes, there were bells. And then he had to wear a rope tied around one of his legs. And the idea was that if God's presence became too much for him and he collapsed, then the people outside could hear, oh, there aren't any bells, so pull on the rope to get him out there while he's still alive. So coming into God's presence was and is a very big deal, and we should never forget that. There's a couple of verses in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, which ask, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. And we read that and we say, oh boy. Clean hands? Pure heart? Me? How do I hope to stand on the holy ground of God's presence? The people of Israel saw God as a distant God who was difficult to get to. Later in Exodus, we read of Moses himself having to hide in a cleft in the rock as the presence of God passed by in case it was too much for him. So coming into God's presence was scary and challenging. And in a sense, that hasn't changed. He is still holy, pure. He is not to be toyed with. And yet, in the middle of that bad news in the Old Testament, there's always a hint of something better, something more hopeful, even for people like us. Let's look at the reading from Exodus. Even there, where we expect to find this distant and unhopeful picture of a distant God, what do we read? I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. So this God, who is distant, who is difficult to reach, he's going to stretch out his arm to save his people and draw them to himself. And this message in the Old Testament is a message of hope for God's people. And as we look forward to the New Testament, then we can see that again. Let's read some words from Ephesians 2, just before the reading that we had today. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So Jesus has changed everything. Now, when we come into God's presence, holy and pure as he is, when we come into his presence, we come differently because of what Jesus has done. And we'll look more at that in the next point. But before we go there, let's just pause briefly and think about that. as we listen to and maybe sing along to this next song. So before that song, I gave a little spoiler about what the second point is. So the second point is part one of the good news. The fact that Jesus has done all that is necessary for us to be able to come into God's presence with confidence. So the good news is that when we think about coming into and being in God's presence, we come not with any fear and uncertainty, but with hope, trust, assurance, confidence, not in what we've done, but in what Jesus has done for us. As that song reminded us, there's an invitation, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I love that image. This is not some distant God who we have to placate, but he's one who is waiting for us with his arms wide open. And all of that is because of what Jesus has done. God is no less holy now than he was then. He is no less holy than he was when Isaiah had that vision of him in the temple in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah was overwhelmed by the presence and the holiness of God, and he said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But there's a difference now. Because that King, because that Lord of hosts, he himself, in his Son, has done all that is required for us to come in, come to him. He's done everything. That's why he said the words, "It is finished," on the cross. And the fact that it was all done is shown clearly in his resurrection. He rises from the grave and says, "Job done. Nothing else is required. There's no need for any sacrifice or ritual." I want to emphasize again, coming into God's presence is still very much a big deal. Coming into God's presence is an awesome and frightening thing, and that hasn't changed. But what is even more awesome is the fact that Jesus has done all the work for us. And now we are welcome into that presence that would otherwise be awesome and terrible and frightening. So when we talk about coming into God's presence with confidence, we don't minimize how much of a big deal it is for weak and feeble people like us to come into the presence of a holy God. But, and this is massive, we come in Jesus' name even more amazed and thankful that he's accomplished this great thing for us at such cost to himself. This is truly good news. This is truly fantastic news. And an even greater cause for our thanks when we realise what he's done. Because now, not only can we come into God's presence in Jesus' name, but we come now to a different place. Because we come as different people. We come now not as strangers, but as the verse says, fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. And the words Paul used here suggest that we're talking about family members of a household, not servants, but sons and daughters. In a very real sense, when we come into God's presence, we're coming home. And that's been the testimony of so many Christians over the years, that when we come into a relationship with God through Jesus, we come to our spiritual home. And it's worth pausing there just to reflect on what I just said. In Jesus, God's presence that was enough to kill a high priest is now our home because of Jesus and what he has done. Moving on to the third and final point, the second piece of good news is that in his Spirit, he gives us the power to live with confidence in his presence. All those truths that we've looked at previously are about where we are and how we stand when we come into God's presence. But what about the reality of day-to-day life? How confident can we and how confident do we as people who frequently stumble and let God down, how do we come into God's presence? I'm sure we can all think of examples when we've been less than confident coming into someone's presence. I don't know, it may be meeting our in-laws for the first time, or maybe years ago going to the headmaster's office in school, or maybe something's gone wrong at work and you have to go and see the boss. And we worry in those situations, don't we? Because we're nervous and we want to show our best side. So we want to hide those darker bits. But when we come into God's presence, we come to one who knows absolutely everything about us, everything. And yet, he still loves us and accepts us in Jesus' name and calls us to come to him in Jesus' name. That's even greater cause for thanks and praise. He's so different to us. We tend to draw close to those we are attracted to, but he draws close to those who do not attract him. And the way we think of God's presence is completely different now. Previously, coming into God's presence meant entering the temple. But now, in a sense, the temple has moved. 1 Corinthians 6:19 reminds us, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" So God's presence is with us constantly. He lives within us, and we can be confident in that. God's work in us is not just something to look back on. He sends the Holy Spirit into the life of every believer, and one of the effects of that is that we can now come close to God with confidence, because he makes God's presence real to us now, not just in some past experience, but now. The Holy Spirit is the first installment to assure us that our full inheritance as children of God will be delivered. Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14 say this: "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So the Holy Spirit starts his work in us, teaching us, guiding us, giving us the power to do the will of God, something that would be beyond us without him. He renews us and sanctifies us, helping us to want things that build us up and serve God and others. As Galatians 5:16-18 states, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And the Spirit gives us gifts to be used for the benefit of others and to build up the body of Christ. He saves us, he calls us, he fills us, he supports us, and he equips us to enjoy his presence and to do his work. So just to wrap up, do we feel confident about coming into God's presence? Do we feel confident about living in God's presence? As we've seen today, there's good news and there's bad news. Firstly, the bad news was coming into God's presence is scary and challenging, and in a sense that hasn't changed. It's not something that we should take lightly. But the good news is, and it is great news, and there's lots more good news than bad, that God has changed all that in Jesus Christ. Because without changing anything about God's character and standards, Jesus has done all that is necessary for us to be able to come into God's presence with confidence. And finally now, we can live as temples of the Holy Spirit. And in his Holy Spirit, he gives us the power to live with confidence in his presence with us. And we can now see, in the words of the song that we'll be closing with, that we're coming into God's presence. When we do that, we come home to where we belong, into his arms. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you welcome us. We thank you that you know everything about us. And yet, in Jesus, you still welcome us into your presence. Help us to trust in you, not in ourselves, not to have confidence in ourselves, but to have confidence in your work and the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us to fulfill your purpose for our lives in your power and in your strength, having confidence that you will fulfill through us what you want to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.